Welcome to Black Hollywood Live After Buzz. We're back doing one panel this week for Atlanta Season 4, The Streisand Effect. Stay tuned. In the morning, pop shells for a living. Yes. Baby, gon' smell blood trail every minute, rogue wave, and you niggas go fair. When I hear
look at Jeff. I love it.
Guys, because you haven't heard Jeff rap. Jeff is actually a prolific, profound rapper with multitude of songs.
Prolific and profound.
Yes.
Is he your manager?
Prolific just means a lot. Prolific just means he has a lot. He has a lot of songs.
Prolific, maybe. Profound, probably not.
It is. Tell them what your rap name is.
Graham Cracker.
Boom! Oh. Jeff Graham is Graham Cracker.
Oh my god, look it up on YouTube.
I take myself very seriously.
It's a very serious rap career. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show, everybody. There's five of us in the studio today. We're really excited. It's Atlanta. It was an amazing episode. Dark and funny, as usual. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique. And this is my lovely panel.
Joelle, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. Glad
last
to be back.
Week, Tehran, fun to have you over there.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm Jeff Graham. Thanks for tuning back in. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham and on Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham.
Oh, that sounds prolific and profound.
I'd say I'm both.
A lot. Cannot.
Hard to follow that, but I'm follow me on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or Instagram at D'Angelo.
And I'm Raylan, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ray Taylor Gang, or you can go on Instagram and follow me at Raylan Taren.
Taylor Gang. I love that. Yo,
thank you.
I feel like I need to have something cool to say.
I made it when I was in middle school, so.
I'm the bathrobe heartthrob, Tehran Von Gosfried. Find me at I Am Tehran on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter. Tell your friends to tell their friends to tell their hot girlfriends to follow me. Let's make that happen. Let's make it a reality.
Preach.
And we're back. Okay.
Oh, God.
Heartthrob in the bathroom. Get out. Okay. So this episode, I want to just dive right. No, I'm sorry. Let me rewind really quick. I want to point out two things that I read this week. One, we officially have a season two, which I am super, super excited about. It's great. Like, it's an amazing show. I'm really excited to see where we take it. It's obviously early. We're not quite sure what's going to be happening yet. We can't have predictions for season two yet, but I'm glad that we have one. I'm glad it was this early in the season that they were like, yes, please. So really cool. Second of all, did you guys know that the entire writer's room is black and mostly from the Atlanta area?
Yes.
Cool. I did not.
And it also broke records. That's a piece of information we should know is that Atlanta's viewing actually broke FX records.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Diversity is here to stay, and they're actually saying that Atlanta is one of those shows that shows it alongside shows like The Carmichael Show and things of that nature.
Makes me so happy because it's like networks are so afraid for this stuff, and it's like, no, all you have to do is greenlight a show like this, and you will literally break records.
You know, it's funny that it makes you so happy because you're the one out of a job. Like, the rest of us makes us happy because, like, finally, I get a chance. Like, sorry, Graham Cracker, but you're out of there, buddy.
It's really funny.
No, you should be excited because now you get introduced to new stories that maybe you hadn't heard before. Maybe aspects that you didn't know, which actually Donald Glover said was his main goal. Was like, you don't know the whole of, like, black culture. Like, it's diverse and it's wide and it's varied, and I'm going to show it in this show.
And it was brought up in the show. And I'd love to talk about that because that Nigerian comment was really,
smart. Yes.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. So let's just start with this great opening and introduction to a new character, which we all kind of have different theories about, I guess. Zan, who at first I was like, no, I get this guy, because when I'm uncomfortable in situations, like, I just laugh and try to join a conversation. It works a lot of the time too. You just laugh and slide your way in there, and people are like, yeah, friends. Don't be off-putting like Zan. He was really weird. What was your guys' first impression? Zan. Am I saying that right? Zan?
Zan.
Yeah, okay.
Zan sexual.
Yeah, that was the
Zan
beanie.
Yeah.
I don't think, I didn't like him, and I don't think we were supposed to like him.
No.
He did a good job, but I think, you know, we'll dive into it some more, but, like, he kind of represented kind of that social aspect of, like, and brought the pressure to the rapper to Paperboy to not respond, which I thought was, like, really interesting. And, I mean, they really, like, they didn't humanize him at all. Like, he was, like, almost on the extreme, like, even to the last scene when the kid got robbed, like, or the pizza didn't come back to him, or he didn't get paid for the pizza, that's what I should say. But, yeah, I don't like him.
Okay. I feel like I know him, though.
Of course you know him. On the low, it's part me, okay? This is a guy who's self-promoting the whole way.
I mean, the hat.
And I mean, yeah, the hat. Like, I think I've used a couple of those hashtags.
But that's the thing is, like, I kind of didn't hate Zan because I'm like, oh, you're winning. Like, he's not... Do we blame him or do we blame the masses of sheep that...
Exactly.
I kind of was like not... Like, we work at a network where people are self-promoting all the time. And, like, that is the new industry.
You know,
we're
here.
You have to do that.
This is the first time it felt very Los Angeles to me as opposed to Atlanta. But I guess the same scene is probably happening down there of, like, I'm just trying to get in. Like, wherever I fit in, like, that I'm down with that. So, yeah, I definitely felt like I know him. Definitely felt like an extreme, though. How'd you feel about him?
I don't know, because, like you guys said, like, I feel that he is self-promoting himself, and then society does, like, kind of push on the person who's, like, doing the reviews, and, like, they want to hear more, they want to get the tea, the gossip, so it's like, do I hate him for, like,
or
stirring the pot?
Or,
like,
are we guy to all of our friends?
Because I'm a Zan, but, like, I don't comment, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm just, like, here for it, though, like, I'm, like, scrolling on the gossip page, trying to, like, read what people are saying, but I'm not, like, you know.
And you're not commenting, and you're maybe not getting the likes that he's getting. Almost 3,000 likes on that one meme that he had put up. That was the whole thing. It had 2,932 likes.
So wait,
and
y'all defending this guy?
I'm defending the concept of the blogger culture. That is something that exists whether you want it to or not. We saw it with Key and Peele when they were on the VMAs as their blogger selves, as their alter egos. And that's what Zan represents. He was a promoter and a blogger, and he promoted that culture of that. It's something that's real, whether we accept it or not. We all know a Zan. He promotes clubs. He's trying to get fans. He's trying to fit in. And that's something that we see in the social media sphere. And whether we like it or not, all of us are a little bit of Zan, especially if you're trying to be famous.
Exactly.
And Atlanta is the Black Hollywood right now. There are movies being made in Atlanta that are promoting Black culture. And so it's only appropriate that Zan, the mixed Black person, is this person.
From a promotion standpoint, though, there's a difference between doing something to get a rise out of someone as opposed to doing it as an art or doing it for a purpose. And that's
my point.
That's more of my issues. Like, he openly admitted, yeah, I'm doing it. I mean, he opened up the conversation about the contradiction with rap and then also promotion, which is fine.
Sure.
However, but him as a character, like, and why I don't like him is there's no code or moral, like, okay, I'm doing this for a reason, as opposed to, like, he's just doing it because I want to get likes and I want to get attention.
There's no sense
in there's no depth. And for me as a promoter, I don't, like, yeah, we have an aspect of him, but I'm not about to do it just for likes. It needs to represent me, like, not just me trying to get a rise out of someone.
I would say to piggyback off that thought, he also doesn't seem to have any idea how he affects other people. Like, he seems to think, like, oh, no, this is just a game. That's how we do.
But and it is.
Right.
He is a troll. He is a professional troll. Mm-hmm. And he's not the only one. It's not like we all don't know the name Perez Hilton. Who is Perez Hilton? But basically just a white Zan. There is no basic difference between these two. They promote the blogger culture. And they promote it and push it forward. That's something that we as people, we watch and pay attention to. People don't remember. They need to remember that Drake won a Grammy for Back to Back, which basically said, it announced to the world, Twitter fingers turn to trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers. You're supposed to be a gangster and you're tweeting instead. That's something that we saw. This is where the new hip-hop beef even exists, is on the social media sphere. It's not real beef. It's not real. It's like it's promoting, just cross-promoting albums.
I'm going to call you Professor Tyrone from now on.
I'm just saying.
I'm just preaching right now.
While I'm professing, let me remind you that the episode was called The Streisand Effect. And while we were watching, you asked, what does that even mean? And the Streisand Effect is actually a social media term that exists where it means that you hide a piece of information. Because you push it so much on the social media sphere, it no longer really exists.
Hope y'all take it.
That's really a thing.
So take I need this to be explained. Like, I'm still not there.
Yeah.
So you put out a piece of information so much. It's like a piece of information. Let's take a lot of the news about cop shootings, for example, because that's a bit of a hot button topic right now.
Push it out into the
social media so much that it no longer affects anyone. It's no longer relevant.
It's just information. It's like a criticism, and I think this comes from the
Barbara Streisand, like,
that's what I was like, is Barbara anyway
Barbara Streisand.
So Barbara Streisand, there's a song came out and the main lyrics were just her name, Barbara Streisand, and she hated it and was like, I'm not going to give you the rights to it. And so the artist was just like, well, it's free, so you can't sue me, it's just a piece of property I put out, I can say whatever I want. and it blew up like overnight, but he didn't make any money off of it. But Barbra Streisand also couldn't close it down.
And now he's, I mean, regardless of whether he made money on that, he's famous now.
Yeah, so basically,
it's the same thing.
With the Streisand effect, you basically, if you hide a piece of information, if you try to censor it, if you try to pretend it didn't exist, it actually makes it more relevant because you're doing that, because you're conspiring, right? It's like, that's what makes it important. So that's what it does. You put it in the social media sphere because it was hidden. If it wasn't hidden in the first place, people might not have noticed. And that's what Paperboi did by addressing Zan's attack. He made him relevant.
Speaking of addressing, like, for me personally, I do not like when I see, like, my celebrities, like, that I love, like, clap back. Like, that's just something I don't know. To me...
See, now, it depends on the celebrity for me. Because some celebrities are just bad at it, where they're just, like... fumbly and like F you and that I think that but you know like you know, Chrissy Teigen like it when depends. She claps back when Chrissy gets back I'm like get it girl because she does it in a smart way or Marcia Gay who's a great like feminist writer when she claps back at people like a lot of times it's just her posting their things again and it they just look ridiculous and
so you know what there's like a difference I don't like when people are just like you know just profaning like F you like you know what I mean especially because to me I might have like an old school like type of mindset to where I think like I want my celebrities to have a little mystery like I don't want to know who like Rihanna's beefing with who she's cool with or who she's not because that's what makes them like a celebrity
but that's not that's the modern day celebrity the modern day celebrity is accessible that's the concept that's why Rihanna has 50 million like... followers on Twitter we want to see the train wreck people you want to talk about someone clapping back Kanye killer at clapping back why because it's a train wreck you're watching him just crash off course and we're all drawn to that that's why we're watching the Kardashians
but I feel like it makes the, I don't know for me like as a real fan of these people like if you're a real diehard you really don't want to because I'm honestly like when I see Chris Brown clap back
it's brilliant
his
Facebook live when he's like what's next I'm a farting elephant oh my gosh maybe Chris I don't know
it really depends on what you're going to your artist for
because I love the artistry that's why I'm here I'm not here to see like you know what I mean like your personal life that's why I'm always like damn like I really don't care
I think Chris Brown would do a lot better if he would just sit down and be quiet but to Jaron's like you know point his fans like it. Yeah. And, like, I might never, ever have been a fan of Chris Brown again. But the girls that do like him, and even the dudes, they're, like, they rep it hard. They're following him on every single app. They're keeping up to date. You know, when he hashtags, they're hashtagging. So it works. I think it's a good place to segue to Paperboi and his kind of reaction to all of this, which I don't know if I'm necessarily surprised by it or if I just wanted him to be better. Because to your point, like... Why are you engaging the trolls? Like, that's, like, the number one rule of the internet. Like, the minute you engage.
Especially, like... Because I also get mad is when they engage with the trolls, but there's, like, people on their pages that are saying, like, these long pages, like, you inspire me every day. You listening to your music, lift me up. Nothing is being said to these people, but just, like... You know, it's just dead silence. But to the trolls, it's like, oh, let me write you this long paragraph as to why you're wrong.
I mean, from his perspective, if somebody's saying wild something out their mouth in front of me, I'm going to probably respond. Like, it's just, I mean, and he's doing it to get a rise out of me, but it's kind of unfair to have that expectation for a celebrity, like, because they're human, too. Like, you're going to say something wild out of my mouth, it's hard for me to not, even though the expectation is them for to not do
but
that.
Even to, I guess, to my... But if a friend were in the situation, I'd be like, just swerve. Like, just ride around them and keep going. Like, the more fuel you give it, like, that just it makes him so happy and excited.
Yeah. I think that Paperboi knows his music isn't as dope as he thinks it is. Like, I think
he's like a subconscious thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, if Paperboi really believed he was... Kanye's a bad example because if he really believed he was, like, in Golf Langer, like, if he believed he was Tyler, the Creator or something, he would not because he would have confidence. I think it's an insecurity thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, it's not like Zan wasn't hitting on major points, specifically, like, the whole, like, you called yourself Paperboi? Like, that's not a unique name in any circle.
But Zan
like,
did it on purpose. Zan, look, like, most trolls, like, professional trolls, not just haters on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Professional trolls do what they can to get under the skin of the artist, celebrity, personality. Why? Because they want a reaction. And he got one.
Yeah.
This is the thing, like D'Angelo said, Paperboi is coming off. He is portraying himself as a real person because he is actually a real person. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who even stated, I have to rap. He didn't say, I want to rap. He says, I have to rap. I have no other choice out. I scare people at the ATM. Right? That was a line he said. And so when he says things like this, you realize that he feels that rap is is his only outlet. It's not because he wants it to be. It's because he feels like it has to be. Putting that into perspective, he's just a real guy. And when a real guy, someone comes at you sideways, you go back at him sideways, especially Paperboy, who's coming off as, I'm a street dude. I'm a street dude. And in the streets, if you say something to me, I have to smack you in the face.
You know what? Because I'm actually a little unfair and biased because I always compare like any sort of like, damn, but Beyonce don't be saying anything. You know what? That's exactly what I think all the time.
But
and
Beyonce's
that's the standard
been a,
that I always set everybody
she's been
to,
a star since
everybody.
Seven.
Exactly.
Right. So when she's so at home, Beyonce goes that. Crazy. She
exactly.
just doesn't say anything.
Exactly. That's
she's
what
been
I
raised
think.
That.
I'm just like comparing everybody to like the Beyonce standard, like, do the Beyonce way, or I don't know, it's not gonna look too good for you.
It's you're right.
I like the standard of living.
I know, the queen. Paperboy's only way to communicate is through rap, which is a really good point that you bring up. It's essentially it's someone coming up to me and sewing my mouth shut. And what do? You know, like I'm a straight white male. Like I don't. Rap isn't my only platform to engage with people, and like Paperboy, that really is his only. I like that point you brought up, Tehran.
Yeah, it's the only way it gets out. And there was a line that actually really, when we're talking about prolific and profound, we were talking in our group that this show says so little, it does so little, but says so much, right?
Yeah.
There's a line in it with the breakfast cup where Darius is holding breakfast cup and Donald Glover, Earn says, you made that up. And he goes, nigga, everything's made up. Wow. Everything is made up. Even the social media, everything that we look at in the world that we believe in is made up. How do we know it goes on? Because the new character that was introduced this week were the billboards. We saw more billboards just focused. The Atlanta HIV billboard. There was no reason for that. He looks up. There's the little symbol and then Atlanta and it's like www.hivtesting.com or something. Then there's a jewelry billboard where it's like for $100 like down or $200 down, put jewelry on layaway. If you have to put jewelry on layaway, you shouldn't own jewelry. But it's because we're all part of that Instagram culture. If we loved ourselves as much as we loved our selfies, the world would be a better place. But it's not because we're buying into the culture that Zan is just a product of. That social media culture where as long as I look like I'm having a good time, it's better than actually having a good time. Mm. So everything is made up. And that's why this was such a profound episode. This one really was one of those where it didn't say anything. It said so much. Right. Even the trade up. It started out with the phone being turned in and then going to the dog. And Earn says, I needed money now. Poor people don't make investments. Yeah. We don't have time to invest. We were just too busy trying not to be poor. Well, that's the mentality, right? Because even the concept of money is really made up. Now, Darius did something that's almost a favor to Earn in a way. So we go back to that and we're like, wow, we're watching all these little nuggets just being unfolded right in front of our eyes. Right in front of our eyes. Just amazing, profound statements for no reason. Just like, boom. Hence the Streisand effect.
It's the visuals, and I really like what they did this week, as you were saying, with the posters and stuff, but with Steve McQueen, and this idea that, because, like, I didn't know Steve McQueen until I got to film school. Like, I maybe heard it offhand, maybe? Do you guys know who Steve McQueen is?
No.
No?
I'm black. I don't know who's black.
Because I'm not a white person,
you know? I'm thinking of... He directed something recently, didn't he?
No, son.
No.
Okay,
Steve McQueen is the king of cool.
Steve McQueen is a classic Hollywood actor. Not classic, 70s. And if you look at modern male style, it all stems from how Steve McQueen used to dress. Mm. He's the cleanest, like, flyest white boy ever on the planet. He looks so good. He would drove great cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's white?
Yeah, that's why poster in the background.
He's the George Clooney of the time. He's like he's like James Dean, George Clooney. He's the stature of what, like, the coolest just guy who just, you know, he can hold his own and he can beat anyone up and drives the fast car and gets the girl and saves the day and it's just the rebel, you know, without a cause, but with the cause. That's Steve McQueen. He's like the epitome
of
that.
Thank you for the photo, Boother. Really appreciate it.
That's the guy. Yeah. That's who everyone, like, in America, every guy, every like white guy wanted to be, even internationally, that became the guy that everyone wanted
to
be.
He's the 70s James Dean.
James Dean was 60s and younger, and he is the guy. Like, if James Dean
he's like
grew
the George
up,
Clooney,
it would be Steve
like,
McQueen.
Yeah, so
he's a silver fox.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
He was clean cut. He could play, like, a variety of roles. He was talented. He dated all the hottest women. He was just real cool, and I like the aspect of showing two Americas at this point.
Big
and
time.
This idea of who has to or who has the ability to cross over. And I also, and this is the part where we get to, yeah, but I'm Nigerian, which killed me because my African friends, not African-American, but my African friends who live in America are always talking about the difference of being, like, a Black American and being an African-American. Yeah. And it's two completely different worlds and it's two completely different, like, sets of rules, essentially. And what, like... Like, they don't have to pertain to necessarily just Black culture. Mm. Like, they learn about American culture, and they're still kind of outsiders. Whereas Black Americans, I feel like, are inside the culture, and then we create
our own
bubbles. Yes, exactly.
We set the culture.
Because I was also thinking, too, like, I don't know whether or not he is Nigerian, but you know how it goes. Like, you meet somebody who's Black sometimes. Like, what are you? Oh, I'm Black, but I'm, like, Cherokee. Then I'm like, you know what I mean? Because for
gotta
me,
add that
like,
flavor into
yeah,
it.
That's why at first I was like, wait, is he really Nigerian?
It'll be interesting to meet his parents, because yeah. It's very possible that his parents are, like, Nigerian immigrants, and he is,
yeah,
like,
so that's, I'm like,
second gen.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Second generation American.
I will say, oh, I don't know if you're going to get to this, but, we got to see Darius and Earn kind of interact with each other, which I thought was like really fun to see.
Before we get there, I do want to make a point on the Nigerian thing, and it actually comes down when you were saying my African friends versus my Black American friends, right? The mm-hmm. difference. A lot of people with foreign culture, even though Black Africans are Black and Americans are Black Americans, they see themselves as different and in a lot of ways better.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it came down to is, of course, I'm Nigerian. Like, I have more information about something than you do. It's like a difference, and it's a difference that we put on ourselves even, which is why a lot of Black people go out and say, oh, well, I'm part Cherokee, as if just being Black isn't enough. But obviously, it's something that's an insecurity, as we would say about Pierre-Paul, about his music. This is insecurity about a culture. Like, a Black culture isn't enough. It's, if I had a foreign element, then I've added a new level and a new dimension and a new form of depth.
That's crazy to me too, because my grandparents are immigrants from Japan, so, and I have like a lot of like mixed friends, and so we are always so like, we Black, like, you know, but we don't want to say like, you know, like, oh, we have family like from other places. So it's crazy to me like when people do that, because I was like, I am like so proud to like be a Black woman. So I mean, I don't know, so I didn't know whether or not
race switching has to happen. I don't know if it has to happen, but it just does happen a lot just in order to fit into certain areas. Because, like, I grew up in a white community, and I'm light-skinned, and people will just refuse to believe that you're Black. Like, they're like, yeah, but what else?
Steph Curry. Steph Curry, who's both his parents are Black. People always think he's mixed because he's light-skinned. It's like, yeah, well, maybe his great-great-great-grandmother was, you know, had
stuff
a mix. Stuff happened. Like, because I don't want to assume what happened, but it could have happened, and now we're looking at this. But like me being half Persian, half Black, I see people treat me different. And it's not just Persian people, it's Black people. Black people will assume things about me, or they'll always be like, oh, well, you're only half Black, as if that's not enough. But if I'm in the car and a cop pulls us over, trust me, I'm getting on the floor too. Like, I'm right there with you and putting my hands up. But it's something that a lot of shows in the past haven't ever brought up. The differences of having a different cultural identity, because Black American culture is different than just being Black. Being Black is a racial skin tone, right? And going with, let's say, race as part of that everything's made up situation, but culture exists. And culture is something like is from a region or a tribe or a religious aspect, and it's something that sets you differently apart from other people. And to think that one culture knows more or is more, that is a root. That is a problem.
And then to explore it in just a singular line, I think is magical.
That's the best thing about it.
It's like, so good.
This long conversation off of just something so small in a car. You know?
It's so complicated. And like, if I may, the way the show uses language to explore these dynamics too, we've had someone questionably use the N-word in every episode. And it's been so interesting and educational.
Yeah, Zan. Zan just used it, and everyone felt like,
the way he dropped it,
it was like, is he allowed to?
I know.
And he was so offended when they asked if he's Black. Are you even Black? He's like, yeah.
So, it's so complicated. And, like, we don't know. I guess Zan is Black. This question.
We don't know. And we presume because of his comfort level and because... Like, for me, like, now I'm looking for signs. Like, my whole family is very mixed. We none of us look like the other. And so I have a cousin whose dad is Black, his mother is white, but he doesn't look Black at all. But if you were to tell him that, he gets really offensive. He's very, very, like, when he's talking to his friends, he's like, no, I'm black. Like, you need to know this. It's important to him that you're aware mm-hmm. of his identity. So I don't know if dude is black. He seems to identify as. But does it matter?
He's transracial. Like, we're saying he's transracial right now. He's clearly black of some sort because he does have darker skin. Like, that's not in question. We felt that way because of the shape of his head and his eyes. Like, we all felt like he had some Asian background of some sort. Darius seemed to think it was Chinese.
You did?
Personally, yeah. I think it was how comfortable he sounded when he spoke it, but I didn't question it at all.
It actually sounded forced to me. It sounded like he was trying to be cool. He's like, nigga, what?
That cheesy smile.
It was like the white guy in the first episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the quick change when he was like, hey, back off, Paperboy. Oh, is this your friend? Like, that whole, like, quick switch up made me be like, you're just adjusting for tone. Like, you're adjusting for the room.
The white guy in the first episode knew when and when not to say, like, who to stay around. He knew, like, oh, I can say it.
Because he didn't have the color card that Sam does.
Yeah.
And as a mixed person, I will say, and a lot of mixed people will probably feel the same, we have two voices. We have a black voice, or like a ghetto voice, yeah. and then we have the white proper voice that we use often and we interchange. And I saw Zan do that yeah. when he was tough and then he was friendly. He had personalities that he interchanged.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's why when people didn't like Zan, like D'Angelo didn't like him, he was meant for you not to like, and right. that's what I liked about mm-hmm. him, is the fact that he portrayed that character so well.
As long as y'all aren't defending him, I was like, look, I understand that that's a reality, but that I have a problem when personally, like as a moral code, like for you to defend someone who is okay with exploiting like an entire business and he's okay with it, you know what I mean, as opposed to saying, oh, it's a problem that business is being exploited,
okay,
you know.
But I gotta say, if we're talking exploitation, uh-huh. Ern and Darius this whole episode, that's all they did was
no doubt.
So
no doubt.
Okay.
What do you mean, Jeff? What do you mean? How so?
They were hustling all episode, and I was like, gosh. This is the same narrative in each of these threads through the episode. We have Zan exploiting Paperboy's fame to get somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but we've got Ern, we've got Darius exploiting people's ignorance to get somewhere too. Granted, it didn't lead anywhere until September, but
but we don't know if they necessarily were exploiting. It seemed like everything was on an up and up trade. He was just making smart decisions to get.
But well, isn't Zan making smart decisions to get? I don't know.
Are they smart though? Like,
wait,
he's winning.
Look at Perez Hilton like as if he's dumb? But see, with Ern and Darius, what they were doing, trading up, there's a case, Canadian Kyle McDonald, who had a red paper clip and traded up to a house.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real story off of Craigslist, right?
So I got a job in LA, similar. So I must have figured something
out. Yeah, you're hustling. We're all, and that's right. what the point is. We're all hustling. The culmination of all that really came down to Ern's remarks about being poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
what it really came down to. Darius had just made possibly the wisest decision he could. $2,000 a puppy, half of it's yours. You're looking at a litter average of 8. Wow, that's a lot, right? And yet, but Ern couldn't get there because he's like, I'm poor now. It doesn't feed me. My van needed this money. My baby needed this money today.
Right.
And that's a real thing. That's something we have to look at ourselves and look in the mirror. We all have felt that way before. We have chosen the easier path because it was more convenient, and today over something more difficult or because it was tomorrow.
No doubt.
That's a dream killer.
Look, I have a hard time saying that it's about, like, what path is harder? Like, going home and telling your family, like, I don't have the stuff to feed you. Like, I'm going to have it. Rely on that trust and the faith that it's coming, or being able to deliver today and being like, look, I brought something home. Like, you don't have to worry about the roof over your head. You don't have to worry about food in your belly. Like, I feel like both paths are impossible tracks to tread. And at this point, like, he's got no legs to stand on.
I mean, Ern's kind of doing that anyway when he has those conversations with his, I don't even know what to call her, quasi-girlfriend.
baby mama.
Yeah, baby
his
mama.
Millennial
I don't
want to
call her that. It's got a little bit more depth to that, it seems like. But I say, yeah, I mean, he's been saying that's the whole argument. He's like, I think at the end of the last episode, he was like, I have to do it my way. I know it doesn't look clean right now.
Sure.
But like, so, I mean, to an extent, he is enacting that mentality, but just not.
But
with
dreams
his
don't pay the bills, D'Angelo. We all know that.
And
like,
that's
all
why
dreams.
She's upset. That's
like,
why she's upset.
Like, dreams don't pay the bills. And that's what we're saying is that dichotomy that we see in the average, everyday person who goes to El Pollo Loco and is the cashier. Like, right. No one grew up. Most people, I don't want to say no one. There's this one guy who's like, one day I too will work at El Pollo Loco. Like, sure. But most people don't grow up thinking that that's ultimately their goal. They end up being
and I understand that. Like, don't get that twisted. Like, my mom, like, I just grew up with just my mom and my older brother. Like, and she had to get her master's degree with just us two and by herself. You know what I mean? I understand you have to make decisions. Like, don't get it twisted in that, but I'm saying you have to make the decisions, and sometimes you have to go through some type of turmoil to get there. I mean, shout out to my moms. But, and I know how difficult that is because, you know, I got my bachelor's degree, and I was taking care of myself, and it was hard. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean, like, there's no adversity you have to take, but I guess when it comes to looking at Earn in that situation, I definitely understand him saying, yo, I'm trying to get there. I'm working. You know what I mean? Like, and I know it don't look pretty, but it's going to happen.
Like, trust. And the thing about Earn, and I feel like I just identify, like, if I'm not doing this, I don't want to be here.
Right.
Like, if it's not this, I don't understand the point of me surviving. I don't understand the point of just bringing home a paycheck and, like,
but what if it doesn't work? Heavy. It's we're all going because we think Donald Glover's talented and we know it's his show and it's gonna work, right? But what if it doesn't work?
No,
there's a lot of 45-year-olds rubbing their, like, yo, my mixtape any minute, any day. Like, right, what does it? What happens if it doesn't work? And then what? Vanessa's supposed to waste her time and energy?
I'm not even saying anything about Vanessa. Like, she's gonna have to make her own decisions. And I don't know if Earn is talented. Like, I know Childish is talented.
She can't make her own decisions. They have a child. Yeah. It's not like Vanessa's just a girlfriend. This is there's a child involved. There is a financial, fiscal responsibility between the two, regardless of their relationship
and
interaction. That
doesn't mean Vanessa doesn't get to make her own decisions, though.
Like, it means that she needs a provider,
right?
Supporter,
so she might have to
father.
Kick Earn out. She might have to say, like, you don't, like, if you're going after your dream, like, me and your baby may not be here, and Earn would have to, like, come to terms with that. But I also understand where Earn is coming from, in that, look, this is all I got. Like, I don't have much else to offer. Like,
he could get a job.
Right. And then where is his soul at? Where is he as a person? Where is he
doing
his thing?
That's an amazing way to think. I love it because I'm a millennial with you, but it's a very millennial way to think.
That's fine. He's
that
a millennial.
Is, like, we all like, yo, where's his soul at? You know, we all grew up with parents who, I feel like they still had souls, but you know what? They buckled up and went to work.
Yeah. And so we never have to go through the same thing. So I understand where he's like, and he's not getting any younger. So if he's going to try, like, it feels like now is the time. And I totally understand if Vanessa looks at him one day and is like, look, I'm not waiting for you to make it.
I think she knows
he
can do it. Because I rewatched the first episode, and when they were considering having Earn as the manager of Paperboy, he went to the dad and asked the dad, like, do you think he could do it? And the dad had said, like, when Earn puts his mind to something, he does it. Mm-hmm. And but it has to be on his terms. And when he went to Vanessa after the night of the dinner, when he did that whole long spiel about, you know, like, have faith in him, like, he's gonna, like, pull through, she just opened the door and was like, you know, that's really some. But I think it's because she believes in him too, that he could possibly bleed.
So she called it stupid, like the stupidest thing ever.
But
really,
I think
she's
like, you're stupid because now I'm really about to. Yeah, because I think I'm really about to, like, mess with you.
I mean,
and go with.
I don't think she did mess with him. She did mess with him because he's been sleeping on Paperboy's couch. Whoa, let's find that one out.
That's recent, though. That's not like the past.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we just saw, after this conversation, the next jump is he has been sleeping on Paperboy's couch.
No doubt.
And it's been a little while because he's, like, even asking, like, hey,
can I do it again?
Is it cool if I do it again?
Let's look at potential other options for that. Maybe she kicked him out, but maybe his pride won't let him go back. Either. Like, he's saying, I need this for my daughter. Like, his whole hustle, like, it seems like he's trying to get back to them. But he's not going to go back empty-handed.
They had an argument at the end of the last
episode
anyway.
But this is, even though it's a linear system, there's been huge jumps between episodes,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not like they just had the argument and he's on the couch. We don't know that. What we do know is that time has elapsed. As if any of the past episodes are indications, there could be weeks. It could be a month. We just know the fact is he's sleeping on the couch.
Right.
And not in the bed that he's used to sleeping in. Because he's been homeless this whole time anyway.
Right.
That's true.
Even his parents didn't let him back in.
Mm-hmm. But again, and sometimes, I don't know. To me, like, this is the best thing that could happen for him. Like, it seems like everyone just lets him go and he gets real comfortable. Even now, we see him, like, sleeping on the couch with his headphones on. Like, he's listening and maybe he's planning and maybe he's, like, sometimes art looks lazy as hell. Like, you're sitting and planning. But also, like, he's always had something to fall back on. He's always had someone to make sure that he doesn't slip too far. I feel like Earn is one of those people who has to hit rock bottom in order to reach the top.
Because have we seen Earn prove a work ethic yet?
No.
We not have, really. Really, like,
we have.
Oh, yes, we have.
We have.
Yes, we have.
The radio DJ.
That's the only thing. Like, right now.
Is that
now,
work ethic, or is that in the moment access and ability?
Right.
Like, we haven't seen him struggle and work and fail and have to go back in again and again and again. To me, that's work ethic.
I don't
There's
believe.
Another thing
We're
to
in
be...
the process of seeing it right now, though. Like, it's not like it's, you know, y'all
right,
like,
but
we've known
slow.
Him for 10
that's
years.
That's what I'm saying.
We're just starting to see whatever it is. You know, we don't know his backstory.
I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I'm just saying I don't think we have fully seen it yet. Right now, he's getting high. He's hanging out with his cousin on his couch. He's saying he has got ideas, but
art looks lazy. I remember a great person said art looks lazy.
He can't look lazy sometimes.
They're working. I see work. Paperboy had a show.
Paperboy's like, working. Yeah. I just
he's his manager.
But
yeah, he's working. I'm working.
I don't know.
I feel you. Like Ernie's
the
character I know the least, and I feel like part of that owes to Donald Glover's performance. I feel like I'm. It's that's okay. I'm not saying that's good or bad.
Yeah.
I just feel like. There's something kind of muted or like really restrained.
But that's what I'm saying with the cushioning of with he falls into other people.
Right.
Like again, like being someone's manager is great. Like I'm sure like Paperboy needs manager. He needs someone to be like, you don't need to be tweeting right now. He needs someone to be like, you know, you're starting to become famous. Like maybe drug dealing isn't the best option for you right now. All of those things. But at the same time, by being able to fall back into these people, he's allowing them to kind of conform and adjust his like opinion of himself. Like he just kind of falls behind people.
He's just around.
Like even like he never really asked like where the money was coming from or how he was gonna get it. Because before I make a deal for a sword, for who are we giving this to?
Yeah.
Are you sure you have a dollar amount? But he just like he just trusts people to take care of them.
I don't know if he trusts people or if he trusted Darius.
Right.
Darius
that's
has
fair,
shown
he gave a cell phone
extremely
smart.
You're
undertones.
Right.
He did
but
what?
Listen. He gave his cell phone number to Zan in the beginning. That's what kind of threw me off. Like, you're really going to give him?
No. Of course he did. He's a manager. No, that's actually as a person with a promotional background, your ideal situation is to network with everyone. And Zan is obviously someone who's proven himself on a social media platform. So it just makes sense. Give me your number. Mm. We can exchange. Network with everyone. People are always excited to see the artist. Promoters and managers are excited to see the promoters and managers because those are the people who actually make the deal.
For me, though, like an evidence of Ernst's passivity would be the dinner when he just kind of sat there and the waitress kept stacking on more and more and more. I didn't really see any kind of like stop or like let's go to a different restaurant.
I think he was doing that just because he was with he was trying to impress Vanessa.
Yeah.
He was trying to impress Vanessa.
But like, does he need to impress Vanessa?
Yes.
Like, I feel like be a man and be real and
that's great, Jeff. That sounds like someone who's in a secure relationship.
They've got a kid. I don't have a kid.
No, but I'm just saying that sounds
but
like someone who's on good terms. Good terms. With his girlfriend,
she just
that sounds like who you are.
I'm just like,
he got work to do.
Who is Ern not insecure with? Who is Ern secure with right now?
No one but Ern. We still don't know like why Ern dropped out of a good college and slipped back.
He took three years off.
Yeah, like he's fallen pretty far, and we're still not sure what triggered that. And I think that's going to be our key into understanding why Ern is the way he is. Like, what is stopping him from thinking that he can be great? Even this, like, I don't know if he fully believes in his cousin or if this is something for him to do.
I know.
Like, if he starts seeing, he's starting to see, because even the raps he's coming up with are lazy.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like, the whole, I can't even remember the lyrics.
Pussy Relevance.
Thank you, Pussy Relevance. Mad Intelligence, something like that. Like
that's a song Paperboy already had that he's putting to an idea of just having
just
it with music
and
stuff. And he said, "I played the
recorder,"
which is really funny because we all did it third grade. But he's like, "I play do-do-do-do-do," which was actually a play on Outkast song, which is actually really creative. But the concept is that he is actually what we can see a pretty decent manager.
You think?
I think he is. I think Paperboy has been growing, and he heard and saw the vision from the first song.
Yeah.
So Paperboy's first song was trash. And even though there's a difference between this is garbage and this is actual trash.
Right.
So when Zan makes fun and has Paperboy throwing out his mixtapes.
That's disrespectful.
Hilarious, right? Very disrespectful. Hilarious when he's just taking out the garbage. There is something can be, it can be garbage, but you know it's good. And a lot of trap music is technically garbage, especially
Fetty
there Wap. Was a time where, there was a time, that's funny you brought him up, but there was
I
a
like
time,
Fetty.
These
well, I like Fetty too, but
old
is
school,
it good? Like,
yeah, all these old school rappers were talking about how much trash that down south music is, and now it's taken over.
Right.
And there is something
the south
to it.
Got something to say, said Outkast, the first MTV award they won. Sorry, that's like my favorite moment in rap history.
Oh, yeah.
You walk up in those giant fuzzy pants. The south got something to say, and from then on out, I was southern rap.
They had something to say.
It was amazing.
Speaking of Paperboy, who is the person that's looking for him that came in the pink jacket? Who
we
do you guys think
yet.
It's going to be?
Can we make predictions on
that, though?
Not that we're ready
like,
for predictions, but I want to predict this because that, first of all, this description of that was so like, pink jacket, tan, like, car, leather seats, like, smoking a Swisher without the weed. And you saw instantly, like, he knew who it was. And it came right before the conversation of Zan releasing this stuff and being like, I have a reputation to keep up. Because he's still out and, like, his talk isn't cheap. Like, he's doing the things to back it up. It makes me think, like, somebody's like, your profile is hot and you need to cool down.
I have three predictions.
Okay.
Lay on.
Number one, it's like a rep, like an A&R. Someone looking to
I was sign thinking up. That, too. That was my first.
Number two, it's related to the murder. Number three, and this is my long shot, it's his father.
His father?
Father.
Back in the picture.
Damn.
Wow.
Twist. Oh,
wow. That's those are good predictions.
Really? I'd say either
that's
one of those.
Sound.
Either of the three. I'd be like, yeah, okay, I take it. Interesting. It'll be interesting to see where that comes out. I also want to talk about this last scene, which we kind of touched on a little bit. The visual imagery when they're at the farm and they're selling the dog and right as he makes his speech is so great to me. First of all, Dee's got the word profound written on his back.
True.
As they're talking about this long-term investment, which I thought was nice. I also like the fact that they shoot at, like, either sunrise or sunset, and we're getting solar flares, which you usually say for these very romantic, beautiful moments. But for him, it was an impassioned speech about how he can't, he's not making it. Like, it's not working for him. And he's gone through all of these things today just to try to get a little bit. Like, he was cool with, like, the 170 they were going to offer him for his phone. You know, and to find out now that he has to go home with nothing, and is shot in this very, like, beautiful, picturesque way. I was curious as to what they were trying to tell us in this moment. And to me, it kind of came off like maybe he's romanticizing his situation a little bit. Because even Dee is like, it's September. Like, it's not that far away. Like, you have a job, like, we're selling, like, you could get in on that, like, you have options. I'm setting you up for this long-term investment. He's like, he starts going off like, I can't, but you have a lot of, like, you're educated, you know, you don't live, like, Atlanta's job industry is not terrible. That's kind of coming out of my ass. I'm not 100% sure about it, but he has
options.
He
was at Princeton.
Right.
I just felt like this line, I'm poor, I don't have time to make investments. This isn't about earn. This is about America. Like, this is a socioeconomic statement, not about him. Like, this is what the show does, is it says so much by doing so little. In this one line, I'm like, oh, I see, you're talking about our entire nation right now. Like, I was so moved. It was probably the way it was shot. And, like, yeah, we're just, like, at this farm, and there's just, like, it was, like, so beautiful. Like, this ending was, like, I was, like, oh, my mind was blown again. Like,
I mean, that's interesting. I don't know. I think this is one of those moments where it's just kind of like in your face. He's just frustrated. He's showing his frustration with his process.
Yeah.
I think he's just like, yo, I know that I want to work towards his dream, and we're still trying to figure out what that dream is. But, like, at the end of the day, like, he realizes I have a kid. You know, he probably just got kicked out. She mad at me. I can't come back home $170 for my daughter. Like, I mean, it's just that simple. Like, I'm a little bit frustrated. And he's like, and it was interesting that he wasn't even angry with Darius. He was just frustrated. It was just more of an inner, it's like, man, I got to figure this out.
He wasn't
like,
angry
like,
with Darius after the explanation. Darius right. said, you said
yeah.
that
yeah.
you wanted more money. I got you more money.
Right.
In the form of an investment, but I got you more money. I told you, if you want to take the money now, take the money now.
Right.
And that was a very real statement. That's when Earn realized he can't be mad at anyone else. But himself.
Yeah.
And he did not ask the follow-up questions. But then we have this moment afterwards, which I think is always important. Ask the follow-up. If you're making a business deal.
Get the details.
Just unnecessary.
Get the details.
But then we have this moment where he kind of sits on the car and has this thought, like something changes in there, in his silence and just sitting there. And then Darius says, we're friends now, which to me is one of the most, like you can't be someone's friend until you've had like a good fight. I feel like if things are always smooth, like you're not friends yet, you're acquaintances who understand how not to upset each other. Like real friends can have a fight and still make it through.
Yeah.
And I like that Darius like, just was like, and we've had that moment now, so now we're friends.
He's such a goof. I just feel like he's he's a little off.
See, and to me, I don't think that he's off at all. I think he's very tuned in. Like, yeah. I mean,
he's like Phoebe from Friends.
It's so much deep because like
more,
here's
it's
the
profound
difference.
Like his shirt
yeah
it's the thing, he's actually extremely woke and competent and aware. And the thing about Darius that people should realize is it's like that Nietzsche quote where the people who couldn't hear the music thought those who were dancing because they could were crazy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that concept. He hears this music.
Right.
He gets it. He's dancing. Everyone's like, oh, he's just crazy, and plays him off. He is very underrated in that way.
I think he's a lot. No, yeah. Y'all know I'm the biggest Darius fan. Let's not give him too much credit. He's a little, I mean, he left the key for the handcuffs and stuff. He is a little off, and I'm still
Which
sure that he's high
with geniuses
all the time.
Because they often forget they have so many things.
I think he's just high all the time, but he's also really intelligent.
He's his own drummer.
Yeah. One of the two. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm convinced I've met at least one prophet, and Darius reminds me so much of him. Like, these cats who can just speak to you on a level of just, like, I understand your soul, who are really listening, which mm-hmm. I think is super rare, especially in our generation, to have somebody actually, like, sit and hold a conversation with you and connect.
Thank you so much. I didn't even know you thought of me like that. Oh my gosh.
He looked right at the camera.
That was so sweet. You see what I mean? People finally appreciate it.
Oh, God. Okay.
Dr. T.
So, all right. So that was the Barbra Streisand effect.
Can I bring up one thing before we go to
questions? Yes.
I've only had one moment in this series where the humor didn't work for me.
Oh.
And that was this joke of bleeping out this kid for a minute straight. That really took me out of the episode. I don't know how you guys felt.
Oh, and you know what? Now I kind of want to talk about that kid. Okay, first of all, that joke works for me because if you've ever seen a little kid who's been raised by immature adults, that will happen. And I can picture what he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
I maybe think they held it a little bit too long. I think structurally you're right. We could have maybe clipped, like, 5 or 10 seconds and narrowed it down a bit. And it's a little cliche.
It's cliche. I think I was like, oh, it's this show where, like, all language is fine. And I was like, oh, now we're, like, using a censorship bleep for a joke.
I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
It reminded you that it's a show.
Why be reminded that it's a show?
It needed to break up the monotony. It's like, it's coming off as we kept bringing up how real this is, and it's still showing you, hey, this is art imitating life. It's still art. And I think that goes actually an effect towards the director. Mm. I think it's also a play on some world star effects that I've seen with kids.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo had said, and really, you had also said it's possibly that this child
I think
was
his YouTube star. I can't remember. Like, is this kid that just, like, says something wild? It's kind of funny.
And he did say something wild. And this was his ult. That wasn't his original. His original thing was something like, you know what it is, bitch, or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like
that.
And then this was the ult version, which was a long, just bleeped out version.
So, I think that's funny if that is him. Like, I mean, it's over the top. But
who stole his grandma's car?
No, that's not him. I know you're talking about.
Oh, I know.
No, that guy is not a YouTube star. That kid needs help.
He just graduated from school, that's all.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good for you, kid. Way to get your education. I'm proud of you. No. But did Paperboy help that kid? I mean,
No, he walked out.
It was so absurd to him. He literally got out the car and just started walking from wherever they were.
I thought he was going to actually go help.
I thought we were going to see Zan recording it.
Right.
That was a world star moment. That happens a lot, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That actually, world star just recording the whole thing rather than actually
helping. Because, see, I thought Paperboy was seeing himself and the kid at some point. And clearly that maybe wasn't the case. I guess he was kind of more in the situation. But I thought, like, seeing this kid be kind of
manipulated.
Yeah, exactly. Manipulated, like, he's, like Paperboy's being manipulated in his whole career. Like, you have this kid delivering your, like, you're going to collect that paycheck, and you're just sending this kid out here to deliver your pizzas, and now he's getting robbed, and you're so absorbed in the thing that you're doing that you don't even see this kid that you're technically responsible for right now is getting robbed. And it could have been violent or whatever, but he's tripped off, and now that's your money. It's out of your pocket. You're not even realizing it.
But he's thinking, Zan's saying something different. His goal is something different. What's the difference between that and being at a club, and instead of actually dancing, you just Snapchat dancing and then stop and then keep getting a Snapchat or a picture of you looking good but not actually enjoying the moment? What's the difference?
Right.
That's the culture we live in now.
That's interesting. And your point's interesting, too. Of, like, Paperboy wanting to kind of save this kid.
Yeah.
I want that to be a thing, but I don't know if I saw it.
Maybe his walking away is how I see him treating himself.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, like, just forget it. Like, I don't even care. Just go back to
do
what I gotta
do. I mean, he tried that earlier with the kid who was imitating him trying to kill, like,
Yeah, shoot.
That worked out interesting for him, so, like, I mean.
But this was so absurd for him.
It was just
like, what?
I gotta be done.
Because he was like, yo, I don't don't want to say anything in front of your son. He's like, that's not my son. This is my business partner.
That's absurd. Like
that
said,
is so absurd real. Is it's just word. Absurd.
Yeah.
Just absurd.
Yeah, you're like, is
it.
This satire or is this documentary? Like, it was so, the line is so blurry, you know?
Yeah. Clearly, no morals or ethics, as we previously discussed. I'm bothered. All right, let's get into some predictions for next week.
I can never do predictions because...
On this show.
I
have confidence in you guys.
And what? Now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's the show. That's why we didn't do it.
Yeah, okay, all right.
All right.
So...
It's both.
Thank you.
I'll start
it's both. Thank you.
It can be AfterBuzz and Black Hollywood Live. It doesn't need to identify as one or the other.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm out. Right now.
Bars.
Oh, God. Okay.
Bars.
I'm hoping we go back to, I want more of the of his baby, whose name I can't remember all of a
Kelly?
Sudden.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Who? Earn's baby?
Yeah.
Lottie,
thank you.
Does she have any lines yet? Or?
No. I don't mean necessarily her as a person.
No shade.
I just mean him as a father, I guess.
I know. I thought I was going to see Van this episode. I was like, I'm channeling my inner Van, my natural hair today.
Parents. Yeah.
The parents. Oh, I love
there
the parents.
There were two terrifying. Very fascinating, like, sage-like old guys this
Yeah,
episode.
You did. Yeah, we were talking
but
about
But I want
that.
More parents. I agree.
Yeah, especially, hopefully, maybe to... Get him to focus. I don't know. I want more of his family. His
me
family
too.
Is what is really intriguing to me.
I've been
at
begging
this point.
For a flashback, and I don't think I'm going to get it.
So. We'll I don't want one. A we'll flashback. I like staying in this moment.
I want a flashback, but I don't
explain
think I'm going to get one. I'm like, explain.
Why do you
want
to? So, okay, so
I just want a flashback of like Princeton. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Well, maybe you know what? I did a rewatch again the first episode, and Paperboy had said. I had to help you out again. So I'm like, what did you do the first time?
Here's
but
what
we
I
don't
want.
Know.
I don't want a flashback. I want a full episode of him at Princeton. No questions asked, no explanations. Episode 6.
I think that's how they'll
do it. Yeah, that's
how
they'll do it.
When they explain it. Yeah.
No, that's what, yeah.
They're not going to like be like, here. It's just going to be, this was 2 years ago.
I don't know. I kind of like that we're just in
the
this
now.
Moment.
Just in Atlanta.
And I would really like it if somebody was just brought it up kind of abruptly. Not in a way that explains or fills us in completely. But in that we get enough that we're like, oh, you know, exactly. Exactly.
I'm trying to think if there's a relationship dynamic we haven't seen yet because we got Darius and Earn, which is one we hadn't seen. I wonder how Earn's baby mama feels about Paperboy. We haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, Vanessa hasn't really interacted with the crew at all, has she?
Yeah,
but we got to finally see Darius and Earn interact. And we were saying that on the last after show that we wanted to see that. But we want to see the three
now.
Of them, though, but we'll see it soon, I hope.
I think Van and Earn is actually my favorite part of the show as well. And so I'd love to see more of that. I want to see Earn, and we won't see it for a while, but I want to see Earn kind of have drive. Like, have a thing. Like, we were talking before, like...
Passion!
I
understand what you're saying. It's not that he's not good. It's not that he's not wanting to do it. I just don't feel like an on-fire passion that I think we expect out of artists. And it's not necessary to have it, to be an artist.
Paperboy doesn't really have a passion.
You don't think?
Well, he said in the beginning, because when he asked, like, oh, Darius is your manager, he's like, I don't need a manager. I'm just trying to get money real quick.
He said he's trying to survive and he has to rap to make it.
Yeah,
so I don't
here,
see passion
he
from any of these
it.
Guys.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe that's the point of the show, if we're ever going to see that. Because music seems to be just the out. It just seems to be the thing to do. Like, oh, well, we have the connections and it's a thing that we can do. I have to do this. You know, I can't work a regular job.
Wow.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah.
So many thoughts.
I've seen flashes of passion from all these guys.
Where?
Of course
you
did.
I mean, we all saw it. We saw a flash of passion when Earn was explaining it to Van. That was passion.
Yeah, you're right.
We saw a flash of passion when Paperboy was having a conversation with Homeboy who he killed, or allegedly, we don't know what happened. We've seen flashes of passion from each single one of them. Every single time Darius speaks, just because he's not hyper about it, it's very passionate. He believes everything he is saying, regardless of if you believe it or not.
But that to me is not passion. Believing what you say, I mean, again...
But it's not for you to judge
their passion.
I think
they're talking about maybe like passion.
His
for
passion
his...
is being woke. He wants to stay woke no matter what the cost. That's
are y'all
Darius's
talking ambition?
But I think you guys are talking about more passion from Earn for his work ethic, though, aren't you?
Yeah, or just...
Are you talking about ambition?
And again, and I'm wondering,
I want to believe Earn. I haven't really believed Earn yet.
But he's never had the dare to be great situation happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We're
that
waiting for it.
That is what we're waiting for. Right. That is the culmination of this entire episode.
First series,
I mean, this entire show
season.
Is the dare to be great moment. And as millennials, that's what we've been taught to believe, is that one day something will rise to challenge us. There will be the Voldemort and we need to be the Harry Potter.
Nah, and see, that's not what we're talking about. When I talk about passion, I'm talking about unable to sleep. Like, I need to get this song out of my head. I'm talking about, like, I believe so hard in what you're doing that I'm going to go out and call, like, I'm staying up late night to call everybody. Like, I'm calling last favors. Like, I'm, like, why aren't we in the club tonight? Like, we should be performing today. I'm looking for all of that
stuff. But passion
hits
different people differently. Like, sure. Maybe that's not the way they exemplify their passion.
I'm just saying I'm not seeing it. I fully respect that you see it. I don't see it yet. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not there, buried underneath.
You right were now, just saying how down. He's willing to give up everything, like all the
but
normal stuff.
But what's he
for
doing, though? How's he showing? Like, he's not working because he's doing it. But what's
I think
he
there's
doing?
A difference between desire and wanting to accomplish right. something and having the passion
ambition
and the drive to succeed to make it through.
I think
and
he's
right
ambitious.
Now, I don't think he's had. Again, he is ambitious because he wants it, but he hasn't had. You know, we don't see him push.
Yeah.
Like it's floating. He's making it happen. It's going, but I'm not seeing that push.
So you're basically saying like he should have been what is the strip club in Atlanta? King of Diamonds?
King of Diamonds.
He should have been in there just like performing.
Give
it
me
up.
King of Diamonds. Give me even or even like he hasn't been in like
yeah,
a studio or
yeah.
talking to a rep.
Performing
or,
Magic City.
Like trying to like switch out cards. Like I'm just not seeing any of that. So
Whoa! Did you just look at me and ask me what a strip club in Atlanta was? You look directly. There's a lot of people on this panel, by the way. I just like
to come on. Come on.
Am I gonna know?
Come on, bro.
In her defense, am I gonna know?
All right, guys. Thank you, panel. Wonderful. I'm so lucky to be surrounded by these amazing people. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique. Check me out this Thursday. Next Thursday, I'll be covering HBO's something. Wes, something you guys will know it. You'll see it. It's going to be on Twitter. Follow me. Check it out.
Joelle, props to you as well. I know we're a lot of thoughtful people, so I appreciate you really leading us very well.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. We'll see you next week.
Did you just drop the pin?
It's my mic drop.
And check out his SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Graham Cracker.
Graham Cracker. We know he got bars. If y'all watch the show, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm D'Angelo. Follow
you might want to spell that.
Oh, no, yeah, please.
Wait, I've done it. Watch the last few episodes.
Do it again.
Do it again.
No, you have
look
to do it every
Zan
episode.
Would spell it. Zan would spell it and
you
get all those followers.
It.
I'm not Zan. Lord knows I'm not Zan. Look below. You see how to spell the name. D'Angelo TV on Twitter. D'Angelo on Instagram. I got a plug, too. Watch me tomorrow on Blackish. We're going to review the first episode of the next season. I'm not actually on the show.
Hot stuff.
Maybe one day, but check us out.
Maybe one day. And then you can follow me again on Twitter at Ray Taylor Gang, and then on Instagram, Raylan Taryn. And look below so you know how to spell that.
And you can follow me at I Am Taryn, because I think, therefore, I am Taryn. At all social media, find me. I'm at Mondays and Thursdays at the Laugh Factory, and I am on the show Blackish. What up?
Oh! Goodbye, guys. Bye.
Stunning on my ex.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.